Okay, you have to picture this with me. You have to. I'm standing on the Warbird ramp at Lakeland Linder International Airport. It is just past 9 in the morning. The sun is already climbing, the air is thick, the way only Central Florida air can be in April, and about 50 feet in front of me are two B-29 Superfortresses, side by side, nose to nose with the crowd line, Doc on the left, Fifi on the right. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Ramp, and this is Ramp Check coming to you from Sun N Fun 2026. And I'm telling you right now, if you miss this, I'm so sorry, because the only two flying B-29s on planet Earth just spent 4 days parked wingtip to wingtip in Florida sunshine, and I got to walk between them. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. Mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Okay, back to the ramp. Let me set this up properly, because the scale of these airplanes does not translate through a photograph. It does not translate through video. You really do have to stand under one to understand the Boeing B-29 Superfortress has a wingspan of 141 feet, the fuselage is 99 feet long, the vertical stabilizer reaches almost 28 feet into the air. When you walk up to the nose, the chin of that airplane is over your head. The propellers on those four right R-3350 engines are over 16 feet across 16 feet. Each blade is taller than I am, and there are two of them right next to each other. I have covered a lot of Warbird events. I have stood next to P-51 Mustangs and Corsairs and B-25s and even Fifi by herself out in Wichita. But this was different.
The crowd knew it, too. That was the thing that hit me first when I walked up Saturday morning. There was a hush in front of these airplanes. People were quiet. They were taking pictures, sure, but they were doing it slowly, reverently. A guy next to me, probably mid-70s, leather jacket with a squadron patch I did not recognize, was just standing there with his hand resting on the nose gear strut of Fifi. He was not saying anything. He was not posing. He was just touching the airplane, and I'm pretty sure he was crying. I did not interrupt him. You do not interrupt a moment like that. Let me tell you about how we got here, because you have to understand how rare this is. The B-29 Superfortress was the most expensive weapon system of World War II, more expensive than the Manhattan Project. Boeing built nearly 4,000 of them. They flew the firebombing campaign over Japan. They dropped the atomic bombs. After the war, they served in Korea. And then, like so many warbirds, they went to the boneyard at Davis-Monthan, and most of them were cut up for scrap. For decades, exactly, zero B-29s flew, zero. Then the Commemorative Air Force, then called the Confederate Air Force, recovered Fifi from the China Lake Naval Weapons Center in 1971. She had been sitting in the Mojave Desert as a missile target. They flew her out in 1974, and for about 35 years, Fifi was it. The only flying B-29 in the world. Then in 2016, after a restoration project that took, I'm not kidding, over 300,000 volunteer hours, the airplane known as Doc flew again. Doc had spent decades as a radar calibration target in the Mojave II. The crew that brought her back from that, led by Tony Mazzolini and the Doc's Friends organization out of Wichita, did something that aviation historians said could not be done. So now we have two, just two, out of the nearly 4,000 that were built, and they were both at Sun N Fun this year together. For the first time on the same ramp at this show. Okay, let me take you closer. I walked up to Doc first. The paint scheme is gorgeous, bare aluminum that catches the light like a mirror, with the nose art and the squadron markings sharp and clean. The name comes from the original nose art, which had the Seven Dwarfs theme on a series of B-29s, and Doc was the one that survived. Standing under the bomb bay, you can look up into the empty bay and see the structure. The trusses, the control runs, the fuel lines. It is shockingly intricate. This was 1944 technology, and it is still flying 82 years later. I got a chance to talk to one of the Doc's Friends' crew chiefs, a guy named Ray, who has been turning wrenches on this airplane for 12 years. 12 years he started as a volunteer when Doc was still in pieces in a hangar in Wichita. I asked him what it felt like to fly her into Lakeland and park next to Fifi. He paused for a long time, and then he said, and I am quoting him exactly, "It felt like family showing up. We have been the only ones for a while now, there's two of us. And some day, hopefully, there will be more. That got me, that really got me." Then I walked over to Fifi, and Fifi has a different feel. She has been doing this longer. Her paint is olive drab, more of a working warbird look. She has the look of an airplane that has been on the road, doing the tour, showing up for the people who want to see her year after year. There is a confidence to her. The commemorative Air Force crew was running their walk-through tour, and you could pay a small fee to actually go inside the airplane, walk through the tunnel over the bomb bay, sit at the gunner positions, touch the bombardier station up in the nose. I did the tour Saturday afternoon, and I'm going to tell you, crawling through that tunnel, the one the crew used to move from the front pressurized cabin to the rear pressurized cabin, is something every aviation enthusiast should do at least once.
It is tight. It is dark. There are little windows so you could see down into the bomb bay. You really feel the engineering. You feel the constraints these crews lived with. 18-20-year-old kids, crawling through this tunnel at 25,000 feet over the Pacific, with oxygen masks in the cold, knowing what was waiting for them. Aviation history does that to you. It makes the past physical. Let me tell you about the Saturday flyby, because that is the moment that everybody who was there is going to remember for the rest of their lives. The schedule had Doc and Fifi doing a formation pass together. This was the headline event of the Saturday air show. The crowd had been buzzing about it all week. People had flown in from all over the country specifically for this one pass. I talked to a couple from Oregon who took 3 days off work and burned a bunch of vacation hours just to be there for this. Around 2:30 in the afternoon, the announcement comes over the airshow PA. Both crews are starting engines. Now you have not lived until you have heard four Wright R-3350 engines start up at the same time. That is eight engines total. Each one is an 18-cylinder twin-row radial, 2,200 horsepower each. They cough, they smoke. There is this moment where you can hear the prime, then the slow turn of the prop, then the bark and the cloud of blue smoke, and then that deep, bone-shaking growl that only big radials make. Eight of those, starting in sequence across two airplanes. I had goosebumps, I did. I'm not embarrassed to say it. I'm standing there with my recorder in my hand, and I have goosebumps running up both arms. They taxied out together. Slowly, Doc led, Fifi followed. The crowd parted for the photographers along the taxiway. People were running. People were lining the fence at the runway. I saw a dad lift his kid up onto his shoulders, and the kid had this look on his face. That look, the one we all had the first time we saw something this big move under its own power. They held short. They got their clearance. Doc rolled first. The takeoff roll on a B-29 is long. These airplanes are heavy. They use a lot of runway. Doc lifted off, and you could see her settling into a gentle climb out, and then Fifi followed about a minute later. They went out west of the field and joined up, and then they came back. Listen to me. They came back together at maybe 600 feet AGL, and flew the length of the airshow line side by side. Doc on the right, Fifi on the left. Eight props turning 16 wings of total wingspan. And the noise. The noise. I remember thinking, this is what 1945 sounded like over Tinian. This is what those crews heard when they walked out to the flight line and looked up. Multiplied by hundreds, imagine hundreds of these in formation. We get two now, and it is overwhelming. The crowd went absolutely silent during the pass, then erupted afterward, cheering, crying, some people just standing there with their hands pressed to their mouths. There was an older gentleman a few feet from me in a khaki ball cap with a B-29 veteran patch on it, and he was at attention, just standing there at attention as they flew by. His son was beside him with one hand on his shoulder. You do not see that every day, you do not see that ever, really. Both airplanes came back around, did individual passes, and then landed. Doc first, Fifi behind. They taxied back to the Warbird ramp and shut down. And that crowd around the rope line did not move for an hour. They just stood there. They wanted to stay close to it. I want to tell you about a few of the people I met out there, because sun and fun is always about the airplanes, but it is also always about the people. I met a young woman named Sienna. She is 15 years old. She flew in from Indiana with her grandfather, who is a former Air Force navigator. Sienna is working on her private pilot certificate. She told me that seeing Doc and Fifi together was the reason she wanted to come this year, because her great-grandfather was a flight engineer on B-29s in the Pacific. He passed away before she was born. She had never seen the airplane he flew until that morning, and she said, and I am paraphrasing because I am terrible at remembering exact quotes when I'm trying not to cry, she said, this is as close as I will ever get to him. That is what this stuff is about. That is why we keep these airplanes flying. That is why volunteers spend 300,000 hours rebuilding an airplane that was destined to be scrap metal in the desert. I met a crew chief on Fifi named Marcus. He has been with the Commemorative Air Force for over 20 years. He told me about the maintenance challenges. These engines are not made any more. The parts are not made any more. Everything is scavenged or fabricated or carefully preserved, he said. The hardest part of his job is not the wrenching. It is the sourcing. Finding a magneto, finding a starter, finding a cylinder when you need a cylinder. He said the network of B-29 people, between Doc's friends and the CAF, has become the only reason these airplanes can keep flying. They share parts, they share knowledge, they share volunteer expertise. He said, we are competitors only on paper. In reality, we keep each other in the sky. I love that. I love that so much. And I have to mention the food. Because this is Sun N Fun, and you cannot talk about Sun N Fun without talking about the food. The funnel cakes near the Warbird ramp this year were dangerous, just dangerous. The barbecue tent over by the vendor area had brisket sandwiches that were honestly some of the best I have had at any show, and I have been to a lot of shows. The folks at the Aeroshell Aerobatic Team booth were serving cold drinks because they know what April in Florida does to a person. I am very grateful to them.
Pro tip if you're going next year. Bring a water bottle. Bring sunscreen. Bring more sunscreen. Wear a hat. The ramp is hot. The sun is unforgiving. Pace yourself now. If you missed Sun N Fun this year, you missed a lot. The night air show with the pyrotechnics, the Lockheed Martin F-35 demo, the Air Force Thunderbirds, the vintage aircraft area which had a beautifully restored Stearman that I want to come back to in a future segment, the seaplane base at Lake Agnes, which is its own magical world, the forums, the workshops, the home-built area, all of it. But the moment that I am going to remember from Sun N Fun 2026 is two B-29 superfortresses parked wingtip to wingtip in the morning sun. I do not know when we will see that again. The next big opportunity is probably going to be EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh this July. Both airplanes are tentatively scheduled to be there. If they are both there and the weather cooperates and the schedule lines up, we may get another formation pass. We may not. You never know with airplanes this old. Every flight is a little bit of a gift, so if you can get to Oshkosh, get to Oshkosh and go see them. If you cannot, both Doc and Fifi tour during the season. Doc operates out of Wichita. Fifi is based out of Dallas. They do ride flights at various stops. Yes, you can actually ride in them. It is not cheap, but it is the kind of thing you remember for the rest of your life. Check Doc's friend's website and the Commemorative Air Force Air Power History Tour for schedules and stops near you. Big thanks today to Ray and the Doc's friend's team, to Marcus and the CAF crew on Fifi, and to Sienna and her grandfather for sharing their story with me. The folks running Sun N Fun put on a phenomenal week, and I will be back next year for sure. You can find more from the show, photos, audio, and the rest of our ramp check coverage over at radiohangar.com. Two B-29s, one ramp, one crowd that knew exactly what it was looking at. I'm still buzzing from it. I'm Ramp. Go see something that moves you.